God wants to speak to us here tonight, folks. As I mentioned this morning, if you weren't here, if you as a parent had a child that didn't grow, you'd be taken back to the doctor and say, Doc, something's wrong. God wants us, folks. He saves us to make us something special. Amen? But you have to be willing to change. And I want to speak to you tonight. You will never change unless you are willing to change. Come on. You will never change unless you are willing to change. If you go into any of the AA classes and all those, an alcoholic, drug addict, whatever it may be, can never receive help until they first recognize they need help. Until they can admit, I need help. And we've all here, if you're here and you're serving God, if you're here and you're not serving God, God can save you. And maybe God has saved you. But you got to want to do more for God. In your Bibles, Ecclesiastes chapter 3, we're going to read verse 1 through 8. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1 says, to everything there is a season, and a time to every purpose under the heaven. A time to be born, and a time to die. A time to plant, and a time to pluck up that which is planted. A time to kill, and a time to heal. A time to break down, and a time to build up. A time to weep, and a time to laugh. A time to mourn, and a time to dance. A time to cast away stones, and a time to gather stones together. A time to embrace, and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to get, and a time to lose. And a time to keep, and a time to cast away. A time to rend, and a time to sow. A time to keep silence, and a time to speak. And a time to love, and a time to hate. A time of war, and a time of peace. Lord, right now, I pray, God, anoint your servant to speak your word here tonight in this house. God, help us, Lord, to leave here changed. Help us to leave here different than when we came in. And I pray right now in that mighty name of Jesus that your will be done in this house. We give you the praise and the glory. Let's give him a hand clap of praise. You will never change unless you are willing to change. You see, this scripture that we read in Ecclesiastes is probably one of, if not the most quoted scripture when it comes to dealing with change. You see, we are going to be dealing with change here tonight. I want to talk about change. It's not easy. We are creatures of habit. It's not easy for us to make changes in our life. Amen? And so I want to deal with this tonight and help us to understand, folks, I believe this church is on the verge of mighty. We are in revival, but I believe God wants to do even greater things in this church. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. So we need to understand that nothing changes if nothing changes. The statement, change is inevitable, misery is optional, is truer than many of us even care to admit. Somehow, we imagine that it is possible to live without change. But we, folks, we can no more live and not have change than we can jump without feeling the impact of gravity. So to live is to change. And any thought that we can avoid change is life, change life in any way is pure illusion. Women have rights just like men because something a few years back had to change. We live in change. We live in a world that is always evolving, is always changing. You see, I can try to resist change. You can try to resist change and try to stay away from it, folks. But the way I release my resistance to change is that sometimes we just don't like it. We don't want it to come. But the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 says, lay aside every weight. In other words, there is some stuff that has to change. Amen? There are things that, how many here? Amen. Whether you're a child right now or whether you're old, how many had a pacifier? Come on. Bunch of liars. Some of you ain't raising your hands. But hopefully, if you're 50 years old, you're still not sucking on that pacifier. There's a time for change. Right? Still not wearing Pampers. There's a time for change. There's a saying that goes like this: nothing changes if nothing changes, and if I keep doing what I've always done, I'll keep getting what I've always got, and will keep feeling what I've always felt. That is true. That is a true statement, folks, because to do the same thing over and over without ever having something change, and you keep looking for a different outcome to happen. Albert Einstein said the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over and expecting different results. Nothing changes if nothing changes. And if I keep doing what I've always done, I'll keep getting what I've always got. And will keep feeling what I've always felt. Although this is a true statement, it is just another way of saying that you are stuck in a rut. One of the definitions of rut is a fixed, usually boring routine. If you continue to do the same thing in that rut, you will stay in the rut. Unless there is a change, we will be stuck in the same rut, just spinning our wheels, and we'll be going nowhere, folks. You see, many people are stuck in a rut in their lives, and they continually do the same thing over and over again, only getting deeper and deeper into that rut that they are currently in. People refuse to change because their mindset is that I am comfortable, or I can control what I am doing, and they are fearful of change. Woodrow Wilson gave a very wise warning. He says, if you want to make enemies, try changing something. Come on. Change can be very threatening. See why, Pastor? Because change will bring with it a level of uncertainty. And because of that uncertainty, people develop an attitude or spirit of fear. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7 says, for God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. So we should not, folks, hear me today, we should not be fearful of change. But because of this attitude or spirit of fear, people sometimes unconsciously and sometimes consciously become ineffective, or they become irrelevant and ultimately die, all because they refuse to change. You see, it happens. It happens with individuals. It happens in marriages. It happens in businesses and organizations. And unfortunately, folks, it happens in churches. Amen? Things are effective. They ultimately die. And these things can happen in a church as well as it can happen in a marriage. They can happen in a church as well as it can happen in a business. Amen, folks. I do not want to see Church of Pentecost die. Come on. I want to accept what God has for us. Amen. God wants us to step up to another level. God wants to bless us and use us to make a mighty revival in this city, in Northeast Ohio. And it will only come if we are willing to say, God, change me. God, make me what you want me to be. I don't want to be stuck in a rut. Even the people of Christ's day, they were looking for, they were expecting the promised Messiah. They didn't accept Him when He came because, folks, He didn't come the way they expected Him to come. You see, also, He didn't do what they wanted Him to do. They wanted Him to overthrow the oppressing Romans that ruled them. And as a result, they rejected the Messiah. They rejected Christ Jesus and they clung to their irrelevant religious traditions and they missed out on the opportunity to change. One of the main reasons people don't want to serve God is because it changes you. And if it hasn't changed you, folks, then you probably are not living for God. Ouch. I said if God hasn't changed you, if reading the Word of God hasn't changed you, if seeking the face of God hasn't changed you, and if you're doing the same things when you came up to the altar and you prayed through, if you're doing the same things, if you walked out of here kept doing the same things, then you're probably not living for God. God wants change. Like I said, He loved you. He met you where you were. But He does not want you to stay where you were. God saved you to take you places. He saved you to make you something. He wanted to make you respectable when you weren't respectable. He wanted to bless your life when you were not blessed. He wanted to clean you up when you were a mess. God saved you to do something in your life. But God will not force you. You will never change until you are ready to change. Until you are willing to change. You see, a lot of people go through the motions of Christianity. But they never change their lives. They never change their lifestyles. Folks, that's what God didn't save you to leave you like that. He saved you to change you. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is the same old creature. Is that what it says? He is a new creature. Old things. God said, hang on to them. That's not what it says. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. That sounds like change to me. You see, the simple interpretation of the scripture is change. Traditions, rituals are effective as long as they are relevant. Refusal to change. You know what it's called? Stubbornness. And the Bible talks about stubbornness 28 times. 19 more times it used the word stiff-necked. These words are talking about people that refused to change. Folks, we have to understand something tonight. God cannot allow people to lead comfortable lives when stubbornness separates them from Him. God wants everyone, hear me, God wants everyone to let go of stubbornness and go to Him or return to Him. In other words, God wants us to change. Now, as I'm speaking this tonight, if you've been saved, I don't care if you've been saved 30 years, 20 years, 10 years, 5 years. I want you to think about this. How far along have I come? What have I done for God? How many souls have I won to the Lord? And we can go on and on and on. Have I held back? Have I not allowed God to move me in this area? Have I been stubborn with God? Have I been stiff-necked with God? Come on. You see, while truth never changes, time changes. People change. Situations change. Methods change. And when our traditions are no longer relevant, we need to be open to change. Why? Why do we need to be open to change? For to live is to grow. To grow is to change. Now, it is not smart to continue to do the same thing and think something different is going to happen. We know that. It's called what? Sanity. Some of you need to hit your neighbor and say, wake up. There's a saying, folks. Prayer keeps things the same, right? What does prayer do? Changes things. If you don't want change, why do you pray? Come on. If you don't want change, why are you praying? So let's all go on a prayer strike. We don't want change. Prayer changes things. Now, it's not very smart to pray and not expect change to take place. Unless you're one of those, God, praise, change so-and-so because they're rotten, stinking to the core. God bless me. I love you. Come on. Come on. We're pretty selfish sometimes when we pray, aren't we? Let's admit it. Let's change our prayers. God, use me. Come on, God, use me. Lord, help me not to be comfortable all the time. Help me, Lord, not to be in my, that I can get out of my comfort zone and make a change. When you pray, expect change to take place. Job 22 verse 28 says, thou shalt also decree a thing, and it shall be established unto thee, and the light shall shine upon thy ways. You see, folks, listen to me tonight. If a church is growing, people are coming in, prayers are being answered. You know what that is? Change. Whether you or anyone likes it or not, it's change. And things are changing. Why? Because prayer changes things. John 14 verse 6, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. You see, Jesus said he was truth. We believe that. That's settled, right? In Hebrews 13, 8, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. We believe that, right? You see, Jesus never changes. And since Jesus is the Word of God in the flesh, God's Word never changes. So, if it is in the Word of God, it can't change, regardless of whose feelings are hurt or what laws are passed. There are some things that will never change in our life, and there are some things that will never change, and we must be able to accept that, which we cannot change regardless, folks, if we like it or not. We cannot change our past, but we can change our present situation that will ultimately change our future. Living one day at a time, enjoying one moment at a time, accepting hardships as the pathway to peace. You see, trusting that He will make all things right if I surrender to His will, that I may be reasonably happy in this life and supremely happy with Him forever in the next. But one of the most successful programs to help people with their chronic struggles has been the 12-step program. All 12 steps recovery programs start essentially the same way. Step one is about taking a step. You hear me? Step one is about taking a step. I admit to myself that something is seriously wrong in my life. I have made a mess of my life. And I admit this, and I quit trying to play games with myself. I realize that my life has become unmanageable in many ways. It is not under my control anymore. You've been there, folks? Come on. We understand the mess that we made. Amen? I do things that I later regret doing, and I tell myself that I will not do them again. But I do. I keep on doing them. In spite of my regrets, in spite of my denials and my vows, my cover-ups and my facades, I do them. The Bible says it like this in Romans 7:15-17. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that I do. 16. If then, I do that which I would not. I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. Step one, folks, is all about brokenness. I ask you tonight, is there anybody broken? Step two is a step of hope, faith, realization. You see, it's a big step towards God. You see, in essence, it says, in spite of all the failures in my own life, all the broken promises that I've made, all the hard feelings that I've kept stored up inside of me, all the disappointments that continually flood into my life, all the failures that I keep continually doing and the destructive behaviors, all the hatred that I've allowed to just grip a hold of me, all the anxiety and the depression of guilt. But there's still hope. There's still hope in Jesus Christ. Come on, hallelujah. There's still hope, I say tonight. There is hope, because greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. And with Christ, all things are possible. Philippians 3:13-14. Brethren, I count not myself to apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Step two is all about honesty. You must be honest with yourself and say, I can't make it on my own. I have tried, and I've tried it, and I've made a mess of my life. I don't have it all together. I need change. And step three is a step of letting go. Like Paul said, all those things, I can't change them anyways. I'm leaving them all behind, but I'm going to press toward the mark. Amen. I'm going to keep pressing. I'm not giving up. I have made a conscience and I've made a willful decision to turn my will and my life circumstances over to the care of God. Amen. In 1 Peter 5:6-7 says, humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time, casting all of your cares upon Him. Why? For He careth. Step three is about letting go. Now, you don't have to be an alcoholic. You don't have to be an addict for these things to help, folks. In fact, these are the essential first steps of any of us that we, any of us must make if we are going to grow in our walk with God. Remember, change must happen in life. For us to live is to grow. To grow is to change. Listen, you could have followed Acts 2:38, repent of your sins, be baptized in Jesus' name, filled with the Holy Ghost. You could follow that. But folks, there's things, there's habits and things that we have, it's been a part of our life that we have to learn to, we have to turn this over to God. Step one is brokenness. Psalms 51 verse 17, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. Oh God, thou will not despise. You see, this is, I have been broken. My life, Pastor, is messed up. I am ashamed of the things that I have done. And when I look in the mirror, I don't know, I no longer can stand what I see when I see, because it's not me anymore. I'm broken. Lord, I'm giving it all to you. It is messed up. I'm ready for change. Lord, I need you. God, I need you to put the shattered pieces of my life back together. You see, folks, God will not force his hand on you. And you come to the Lord. And maybe you came to this altar and you wept before God and you were seeking God because you were broken. Your life was a mess. And God filled you with the Spirit and we baptized you in that wonderful name of Jesus Christ. But folks, you have to have a willingness to say, God, put me back together in a way that is pleasing to you. Isaiah 61 verse 3 says, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. Why does God want to save you and help you and move you on? Why? Because he gets the glory. Don't let the devil lie to you, keep you in that rut. Understand that you have to tell God, thank you, God, for filling me with the Holy Ghost. Thank you for washing my sins away. But God, I need you to make me something pleasing to you. See, God wants to take care of your brokenness. God wants to put you back together. He wants to make you new. But nothing changes if nothing changes. Step two is hope and faith and realization. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus Christ and righteousness. Romans 5:2 says, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. We have to have faith. Hebrews 11:1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. I'm telling you, folks, we got to trust in God. We don't see what he wants to do and understand, but we've got to believe that God knows what is best for my life. And God, whatever it takes, make me new. I'm standing at the brink of darkness in my life, you say. I don't know where the next step is going to take me, but I have faith in that God can change my situation and turn things around in my life. Come on, folks. Is there anybody apostolic here tonight that can believe God knows what is best for you? Hallelujah. See why? I have realization that God knows what's best for me. I realize that in myself I have made a mess of things. Do you realize some things tonight, folks? Amen. As God's speaking to you tonight and say, Hallelujah, you've caught. God, I've got to let you change me. God, I can't be so stubborn. I can't be so stiff-necked that I won't allow you to take me places. God, I'm not afraid of you asking me to do things for you. God, whatever it takes, work me over. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. You see, step three is letting go. It is relinquishing. You can't hold on to stuff, folks, and expect things to change. Because nothing changes if nothing changes. You ever hear how they catch some of those monkeys over there in Africa? They drill that little hole, put a little thing, a pebble or something down in there. When that monkey sees it, he goes in and reaches for that thing. But see, because he has that in his hand, he can't get his hand out of there. And he will not let go of it. And so they can catch him. And I think there's things in our lives, folks, that we have a hold of. You see, God, you're not taking this from me. You might have given it to me, God. And I'm holding on to it. You see, God might want you to let go of it because he may have some other place, another place he wants to take you. But folks, Church of Pentecost, we need to let go. We can get out of this mess. We can pull our hand out of that coconut if we let go. Are you willing to let go of some things so God could take you to another place? Are you right there where the devil wants you? You better hang on to it. You better hang on to it. We have to relinquish things in order for God to take us to that. That's what I'm talking about, the pacifier, folks. That pacifier was good for you. It was given to you by somebody who loves you. But they loved you enough to take it away from you when you got 16. You can't hold on to stuff and expect things to change. And when you make up your mind to let go of stuff, then God can do what no other power can do in your life. 1 Peter 5 says, casting all of your cares upon him. Why? Because he cares for you. If you want things to change, you must cast some stuff off. Understand, folks, that God loves you just the way you are, but he refuses to leave you that way. He refuses. And if you're going to grow in your walk with God, you must be willing to allow God to help you change, to be more like him. Nothing changes if nothing changes. And if you are saved and you are in a relationship with Jesus Christ, and you are still doing the things that God is not pleased with, and you don't desire to change or even look into the Word and find out what God expects. Nothing has changed and you are still living in sin. You say, why, Pastor? Because nothing changes if nothing changes. Now you might say, well, I don't believe that God would send me to hell. In 1 Corinthians 6:9-10 says, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revelers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Nothing changes if nothing changes. If you come to church every Sunday and you pay your tithes and you pay your offerings and you sing and you praise and you sing songs real loud with all the enthusiasm in you, but you still have the same carnal mind, and then nothing in your life has changed because your mind is still the same. Romans 8:7, because the carnal mind, folks, is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. The carnal mind. So we see that this carnal mind must be changed, for nothing changes if nothing changes. Romans 12:2 says, "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed." How? By the renewing of your mind. Why? That you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Transformed. How? By the renewing of your mind. You cannot continue to think the way you've always thought and think that you're saved. Transform means to undergo a change. In the scripture, a genetic modification. A caterpillar is not a beautiful creature, but it crawls around on the ground and is vulnerable for predators and to be stepped on. But at some point in its life, it undergoes a transformation both physically and mentally. That the transformation physically causes the genetic structure to change and produce wings of a multitude of colors. And that makes it possible for the new creature to fly and look prettier than before. But also, there's a transformation that takes place in the mind. I don't crawl anymore. I fly. How many are tired of crawling? Come on, I think it's time. We need to say, God, do a transformation in my life. Change me. God, not only change me physically, not that I look like an apostolic and try to act like it, but God, change my mind because I'm tired of crawling around. It's time for me to fly. It's time for me to soar above the problems. He can rise. The caterpillar can rise above being stepped on. And he can outmaneuver its predators. You see, if there hadn't been a change, then nothing would have ever changed. 2 Corinthians 5:17, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." You cannot be in Christ and still do what you were doing before you became one of His. Why? Because if you are still doing the same thing, there has been no change, and nothing changes if nothing changes. You must have a changed mind. You must have a changed heart. You must have a changed walk, a changed talk, and a changed life. Things you used to do, you cannot do anymore. Why? Because of change. Places you used to go, you can't go anymore. Why? Because of change. Nothing changes if nothing changes. In Luke 17, 11 through 17, "It came to pass, as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into the certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, 'Jesus, Master, have mercy on us.' And when he saw them, he said unto them, 'Go show yourselves unto the priest.' And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back with a loud voice, glorified God, fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks, and he was a Samaritan. And Jesus said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? You see, folks, when these leprous men got in front of the priest, think about it for a minute. You know, there's no doubt somebody said to the priest, "After you pronounced us unclean, priest, after you stripped us of all of our dignity and our possessions, priest, after you made us yell unclean, after you left us out alone to die, after all that we've been through, priest, I want to ask you a question. How do you like me now?" You see, folks, sin is a form of leprosy. It eats at you slowly. It eats slowly away at you, killing you in a very humiliating, degrading, uncomfortable way. In sin, we are clothed in corruption. Our identity is taken away. You look in the mirror and you don't even realize that you are a child of God. A spiritual veil is placed over our eyes so that we are blinded to the truth. The devil humiliates you and causes you to degrade your body. He destroys your reputation. He separates you from those that love you. He leaves you out there in the sin to die alone. But one day you meet Jesus. And you cry out to Jesus, Lord, have mercy on me. And He picks you up and He turns you around. He changes you into a new creature. All things are passed away. And behold, all things are become new. And you get to a new walk. Amen. You get a new talk. Hallelujah. Amen. You walk different places. You go different places. Why? Because God changed you. You have a new point of view. You get a new attitude. No longer are you like what you used to be because you've been changed. Something changed because something changed. The devil had a hold on me, but Jesus set me free. Amen. Hallelujah. You can't say that if nothing changes. Why? Because nothing changes if nothing changes. Let's stand here tonight. As long as you stay in that condition, you are always going to get the same results. But if you would just change and begin to make the steps toward God tonight, He will turn your situation around. Remember, folks, nothing changes if nothing changes. Now here, listen to me. You must make up your mind that I am sick and tired of being sick and tired. You must change from being dead in sin to believing I can be alive in Jesus Christ. From the lost to the found, from hurt to healed, from sad to happy, from out of my mind to being in perfect peace. Take that first step tonight. Why? Why should you take that step? Because change begins with first step. There's still hope. Let God help you bring change in your life. God loves you. He wants more than anything to help you make it to heaven. God died for us to help us go from sinful life to a life of pleasing to God. See, some are making great changes a little at a time, and that's called growing. And I'm glad to see that such a change in your life. That's awesome. But the more you are willing to change, the more God will use you. And then you will be able to help others grow gracefully in His love. How about it tonight, folks? Are you willing to take that first step? Is there anybody here willing to take that first step tonight? Say, God, I'm so tired of this rut. God, you got to help me get out of this step. God, you help me to change. I want a new mind. I want to be that new creature tonight.